from somewhere deep below the earth, this is Coast to Coast AM with George Norrie. To reach George from west of the Rockies, dial 800-618-8255. From east of the Rockies, dial 800-825-5033. First-time callers may reach George by dialing area code 818-501-4721. International callers may reach George by dialing your in-country Sprint access number and pressing option 5. Then dialing toll-free 800-893-0903. This is Coast to Coast AM with George Norrie on Premier Radio Networks.
Well, here we are. Open line time, Friday the 13th. You know, Friday the 13th, is it a day fraught with peril? Or is it just the state of mind? I've always believed that you can change the direction of your luck if you wanted to. Nonetheless, we're going to open up tonight a bad luck hotline. I want to know, in your life, some of the worst luck you've ever had, whatever it might be. Here's that number, 818-817-0021. Now, we'll have general open lines. All the lines will be open. And if you want to talk about your bad luck and you get through on other lines, that's okay. But this line is only reserved for people with bad luck. It's called the Bad Luck Hotline, 818-817-0021. Sit back, relax, unless you happen to be driving a vehicle, and get ready for open lines on Coast to Coast AM. And I trust you'll stay with us for the entire program. Tonight, of course, at the end of the program, we're going to play a song that was created for Coast to Coast by one of our listeners, Cindy Laura. And we've got her website posted right now on the coasttocoastam.com website. And it's she's done a great job. So that'll be right at the end of tonight's program. And don't forget now, we're going to open up a Friday the 13th bad luck hotline for you at 818-817-0021. And let's see what's happening. By the way, remember I told you how I see 111 everywhere, where I'm looking at it right now here in the Midwest? Powerball, which goes into a number of states. I look up on this board. They've got these huge boards up there, and the numbers change, I guess. You know, they stay electronic. The lottery amount on Powerball is $111 million. I can't get away from these numbers. I can't get away. Anyway, let's go to the phones. East of the Rockies, it's your turn. Welcome to the program. Hi there.
Well, good evening, George. This is Jay. How are you, sir?
Hi, Jay, and where might you be?
Hello?
Yeah, Jay, can you hear me?
Yes, sir, I sure can. I listen to you on KTRH Houston, home of the Astros. Go ahead.
Absolutely. Welcome to the program.
Thank you, sir. I think I have a good subject for Friday the 13th. I'm very pleased I got through. Some months back, you asked some people to call in if they knew about something evil, not if they were evil, but if they had had something evil happen to them or knew about something evil.
You got it.
And I did not get through that night. And you might remember some of the stories. And I had a story, which is true. This was in all the media in this area, including KTRH. And what happened was in Montgomery County, which is the county immediately north of Harris, where Houston is, they never caught who did it, but somebody took some highway cones and moved them to direct the southbound traffic into the northbound lane on a two-lane state highway.
And they had
the expected result. They ended up killing some people. A 23-year-old woman and her child was killed, and somebody else was killed. And I said to myself, now, in the papers at the time, they said that two teenage-looking boys were seen in the area and there was a teenage party going on, but they did not catch who did it. And at least two people were killed in this thing. And I said to myself, now that is evil.
That is evil. That is evil. And I hope to God they
evil.
Catch those people.
They did not, that I know of, catch these people. This took place, like I said, about a year ago in Montgomery County. And when you were doing the show that night talking about evil, I said, now I got some evil for you. And I think that's about the evilest thing I've heard and that I can think of.
Doesn't get any worse, Jay. Thanks for the call. Let's go to our bad luck hotline. Welcome to the program. Hi there.
Hello?
Yeah, where are you calling from?
Hey, out to, near Raleigh, North Carolina.
Well, welcome to the show. So, what kind of bad luck has befallen you?
Oh, man, it was terrible. Hold on, I just pulled my truck over to the side.
Yeah, yeah, let's not continue the bad luck. So be
careful.
Yeah,
no doubt. I used to work for the golf tour hauling their fitness trailers around and stuff. And I did a little sidewalk on the side. This is where it starts. I got let go from the job. So about 3 months later, I started working a job. And started on my girl's birthday. Be a good way to remember it. And the truck breaks down on the way home that night. So I ride my Harley to work the next day. Come home that night, stayed in that night, got up the next morning, and somebody's knocked my Harley over.
Oh,
brand new
no.
custom paint job.
Oh.
$4,000 worth of damage. So,
when a bike gets hit, I mean, it's almost totaled, isn't it? When you say 4,000 damage, that's a lot of damage to a bike, isn't it?
Well, it was pretty customized. So, I got ape hangers on it, bent them down. I mean, I don't know if it was bumped by a car or intentionally pushed, because it went over the kickstand. It's easy to go over the right, but it was pushed over the kickstand. But so here I get my truck fixed, sitting there watching the race, all these cautions after cautions. So I figure, I'll run down to the grocery store. Well, before I get back, a little girl pulls out and totals my pickup. So now I'm down both vehicles. All this is happening within about 2 months. And
did you start laughing at all, or did you cry?
After that, I was still ill by then. I mean, the little girl, I didn't mean to do it. It was
no.
an accident. But
I understand.
After that, I borrowed my dad's car just till I found me another one. And a friend of mine made me a good deal on a Jeep Cherokee, really low mileage. So I'm letting my girlfriend borrow my dad's car just till we give it back to him. Well, she calls me on the way to work. She's broke down. A flat tire. So I'm on the way to pick her up or fix her tire. I'm within 50 yards. I can see her car in the engine coil dies on my Jeep. So, of course, I got it fixed that day. I fixed it while I was at work, towed it and everything, fixed it for me. And 3 days later, I got hit and run downtown.
Unbelievable.
I thought you guys might put me on there.
You're a magnet of bad luck or something.
I want to say that the bad luck's gone, but the two times that I said that was when my truck got hit. I said it the night before my truck got totaled, and I said it 15 minutes before my Jeep got hit and run.
If I'm ever in your neck of the woods, I'll do the driving, okay?
I tell you, my friends wouldn't hang out with me for a while there.
Can you blame them?
The only good luck out of the situation was I had three people chase that hit and run down and got his license plate.
Well, that's good. They finally got him?
Yeah, they got him next night.
Absolutely. Okay, thanks for the stories. Appreciate it. At least you're okay.
It's great. Hey, thanks for taking my call. Appreciate
okay.
it.
Okay, my pleasure. I mean, that's like a thing with bad luck. We don't want anybody hurt. And we may laugh tonight at some of your stories, but let's make sure you come through it okay. Let's go to our first-time caller line. Welcome to the program. Hello.
Hello.
Yeah, where are you?
My name is Bill. I'm in Ohio.
Hey, Bill. What's going on?
I've noticed that some of your listeners have been, and some of your guests have talked about people that had the dreams where you're paralyzed, you can't move, you can't speak, you can't do anything. And there's
they sure have.
I have those dreams like once every 2 weeks since I was 15 years old. What do they mean?
Well, let's rule out one thing first. You're okay physically, right?
Right.
Nothing wrong there, because I always tell people, you know what, if things like that are happening to you, you might want to get a physical, get checked out, talk to your doctor, rule out any kind of medical conditions. Now, this has been happening for you since you were 15, every couple weeks. That's
right.
A long, long time. Tell me a little bit more what's happening to you.
It's like I can breathe, but I try to scream to wake myself up. I can't do it. I try to move. I can't do it. At one point, it was as if I was kind of floating above myself.
Well, that you might have been you might have had an out of body experience there. You might indeed have been in your astral body. That's possible. When these things are happening, how do you know it's a dream? How do you know you're not really awake and you just are paralyzed? You can't move.
I really, to be honest with you, can't tell the difference. But I do know that after I snapped out of the trance or whatever you want to call it, that I have this feeling of fear of pure evil that is in the presence of the room with me. It's really hard to explain.
And what precipitates this? When you say it happens every couple weeks, does anything trigger it?
No, it just happens. I mean, it's been an ongoing issue. I don't know if, you know, I'm trying to be contacted by somebody or what, but I mean, it's
a little corner off the back page of my edit copy of the book. I promised myself that I would finish the book today, the editing, because Friday the 13th has always been lucky for me.
Good
and,
for you.
And so I tore off the little corner. I wrote the 8. I put it in my wallet. And I wanted it to be something good with that product line now that I have the book finished. And I logged on tonight, and there was an order for 3 of the items. And I just then I saw that it added up to the number 8. I just had to laugh.
That is cool. Hey, thanks, and good luck on your business. Wouldn't that be cool if you can get 3 sales a day at least, and then they then start to multiply? Let's go to our wild card line. You're on the air. Hi there.
Hello.
Yeah.
Yeah, my name's John. A couple nights ago, it was like Wednesday, the 11th.
Yep.
I had this. There was like some kind of a psychic attack that that came upon my place.
What do you
mean?
Right
after your show.
Like what?
Well, it was all around my whole trailer. I mean, it was like moving faster than anybody could possibly move.
Do you think our show had anything to do with it, John?
I don't know. I think maybe it was had something to do with the Oscar, or with the psychic thing. I'm the psychic that healed all the machines the other day.
I remember that, and I hope Oscar's gone, but who knows?
Well, you know, I believe I can make sure he's gone for good, but it depends on whether I should do that or not, you know.
Well, tell me about this psychic attack. What happened exactly?
Well, you know, this has happened more than once, but it happened just a couple nights ago. There was some kind of a pounding force. It wasn't a solid object. It was not, you know, solid. It was energy. And it was pounding on my trailer from all sides.
Loudly? I mean, you could almost,
yeah,
like, see the dents in your trailer?
I could hear it. I couldn't see it, but it was loud. I mean, one time I've had my whole trailer shake, like someone was just picking up the trailer and just shaking it, like a toy truck or something.
What are they trying to do? Do they want you?
Yeah, I think so. Well, you know, I've had a history of being attacked by evil spirits or other such things. And
how do you fight them off, John?
Oh, I just tell them to go.
And they go?
A force shield. I have been working on a interdimensional sort of using my mind to focus on opening up a wormhole to pull through, you know, just the particular type of energy that I am, you know, needed for a particular task. It's basically like a focusing a chi, but it's using other dimensions.
John, you might be opening up a portal and all these entities are coming through it like a sieve.
Well, I always make sure, you know, I always close the portals down, and I always am very careful about which portals I open.
Yeah, but you have no control over what comes through.
Well, I visualize, you know, everything's all based on vibrational energy. If your vibrational energy is positive, you know, that's what you track, that's the, you know, wormhole that you open to is...
Well, yeah, but obviously there's some kind of negative charge around you somehow. They're trying to get in. They're trying to get to you.
Well, you know, I think it might be because of what I can do and because of my capability. You know, it's like good and evil are always in combat.
Maybe evil has got you marked. Maybe they want to just do you in or something. You never know. Hey, you take care of yourself. Be safe. Let's go to our West of the Rockies line. Where are you calling from? Hi there.
This is Fred from Anchorage, Alaska.
Hey, Fred, way up there in Alaska. What's going on?
Not too much. It's getting real nice for the summer right now. I'd like to tell you an old hag story with a little bit of a twist, and also Friday the 13th are always really good for me.
Good for you. Which, is it because of your attitude? I bet it is. You think positive, and therefore things work out for you.
I like being positive. I got a number 8 in my wallet. I'm still waiting for it to hit, though.
Well, if nothing bad has happened, it's hitting.
Yeah, so far so good.
So what's up? What's your story?
Several years ago, I was living in another apartment building. I have my own place now, but I was in bed. You know how the old hag stories, you're usually sleeping on your back? But,
oh, yeah.
I was sleeping on my stomach this night, and I woke up you know, the in between sleep and wake, and I felt something grabbing onto my shoulders and my upper body trying to flip me over onto my back, you know, so that it would be on top of me. And it was really weird because I had this, back then I had another German Shepherd than what I have now. He's a real big macho dog, and he was like on one side of the bed, and he'd jump up on the bed, then jump over to the other side and back up on the bed, going back and forth, back and forth. And he was really quiet dog. He didn't bark very much, but he was really going nuts like that. And the entity thing that kept trying to pull me over, like I said, flip me over and get onto my stomach like that. And I had read one time in another book several years before that, that if you get really aggressive and cuss and stuff at these things, that they'll leave you alone. They're sort of like cowards. They'll come at you if they have the chance, but if you stand up to them, they'll back off.
Is that what you did?
Well, what I did is when I finally was really conscious of it, I just said, get away from me, or get out of here, something like that. And it was gone completely, and the dog must have thought I was talking to him because he got off the bed and went down and laid down on the floor again.
Poor dog, you'll never be the same again. You got to be careful with those animals. They're very, very sensitive. Let's go to our bad luck hotline. Welcome to Coast, you're on the air. Hi there.
Hey, George, how you doing?
I'm doing wonderful, thanks.
All right, hi. My name's Micah. I'm calling from Enfield, Connecticut.
Hey, Micah. It's bad luck for you, huh?
Oh, yeah. First time caller also. All right. I'm a student pilot and working towards getting my private pilot's license. So today I was making my second solo flight. And so my instructor's on the ground. He's got a radio so he can talk to me in case I run into some problems.
Right.
And so whenever you're flying, you always want to take off and land into the wind. So I'm up in the pattern. And the first time he's with me, so I was fine. So then he gets out, and then I take off. And all of a sudden, the wind just shifts directions on me, comes from behind me and down. So I almost stalled the plane.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Now that's just the first part. So then I make the next turn, and then the wind comes just the opposite direction in front of me, again, still pushing me down. So I'm still having trouble climbing, trying to get up to the proper altitude. And then the next time, I take the next turn. So now I'm running parallel to the runway, just the opposite direction, and the wind's pushing me away from the runway. Again, I'm having so much trouble keeping the airplane straight and just...
You're struggling going, why did I try to fly, right?
Yeah, but it's so much fun anyway. But so then there's the next turn, which brings me to the other side of the runway. It's called the base leg.
Yeah.
And then that time the wind's coming from behind me, pushing me so fast, and I got my flaps down, and I could rip the wings off the plane because of the airspeed. And I just couldn't control it. No idea why. And then I make that turn for final along the runway, and again, the wind just kept, like, coming right from behind me the whole time. And I'm supposed to be doing about 70 miles an hour right over the runway, but I was doing about 90, and I just couldn't control it. It took me 6 tries just to land the plane.
And I trust everything happened okay?
Oh, yeah, but it's never happened to me before, and I couldn't even talk to my instructor on the ground because the battery died in his radio.
Well, here's a little advice for you, Micah. Don't fly on Friday the 13th, not at least for you. I'll be back in a moment. Open lines continue all night long. I'm George Norrie. This is Coast to Coast AM.
Subscribe to After Dark. Call toll-free 1-888-727-5505.
Thank you. the charm.
From somewhere deep below the earth, this is Coast to Coast AM with George Norrie. To reach George from west of the Rockies, dial 800-618-8255. From east of the Rockies, dial 800-825-5033. First-time callers may reach George by dialing area code 818-501-4721. International callers may reach George by dialing your in-country Sprint access number and pressing option 5. Then dialing toll-free, 800-893-0903. This is Coast to Coast AM with George Norrie on Premier Radio Networks.
Yes, in our bad luck hotline, that number is 818-817-0021. I've got to go out and get a Powerball ticket tomorrow if I can. You know, my son's graduation is about 90 miles away from where I am now, so I've got to pop in a car early. You can adopt the child. Back in a moment. And let's go right back to the phones. Let's go to our wild card line. Welcome to the program. Hi there.
Hi, George. I hope that I'm not going to scare you by talking to you. I'm a clown, and my name is Sharon, or Rainbow the Clown, and I wanted to call in because I have coulrophobia, which is fear of clowns.
You're a clown and you've got the fear of clowns?
I'm afraid so, yes. I know it's kind of strange, but not so much a fear of clowns, but I've been a clown for 15 years, and always, from day one, had that this terrible fear of big feet and white goo on your face.
Stop.
And a big, horrible mouth with red around it that looks like
blood,
like you've just eaten somebody, and, you know, stuff like that. And so after a few years of getting into clown fights, did you know clowns get into fights?
Of course.
It's terrible to watch. It's very
terrible.
I've seen
them at circuses running up and down, clubbing
each other.
That's
exactly right. And the white, gooey-faced clowns will sometimes tell the pretty, nice clowns like us, you know, you should be wearing the goo on your face. So I thought, I'm going to learn about this. I'm going to learn about why I'm scared of it. So I went on to some of those coulrophobia websites that you often see, and I learned quite a bit about it. Do you know some of the reasons why you are scared of clowns? Because you have very good reasons why you are.
Well, I don't know if it happened when I was a kid or what, but they just have these strange-looking eyes. I don't like their eyes.
Exactly.
Some of their teeth. I don't like their teeth.
Well, see, one of the most important reasons is that nature or God put it inside of you and all humans that to be able to protect yourself in your environment, you have to be able to see the expressions on the face of other animals and people, and to be able to gauge it and know, are you in danger? Is that person mad at me? Are they going to come after me? And so that's part of what the so-called, the artistic way, which I don't like at all and won't let my staff do, but is to exaggerate the eyes and to paint a big old fake mouth on and everything so that you get... It looks like the clown is smiling and happy, and you get a little bit closer, and, ooh, they might look mean, or they might look unhappy. And so that puts this eerie, terrible feeling inside of you, and you don't know why you feel that way, but the reason why is because God and nature put that into you, that you should be able to judge your environment correctly.
You're going to give me nightmares.
Sorry. I was just trying to explain why you had the fear, why a lot of people do have that fear, and that they're not wrong to feel that way.
What kind of a clown are you?
My staff and I are birthday clowns. We're all women, We're frequently told, even by the, we did a lot of research on the coulrophobia website and sent our pictures out, and people would say, oh, you're not scary. You guys are cute. And it's because we work with little kids primarily, and we don't put the white goo on. We don't exaggerate our features. No big fake nose, no big fake feet. That kind of stuff, but we do wear very colorful outfits, and colorful hair and outfits, and a little bit of paint on the face.
Are you a cute clown?
We are all told that we're cute clowns. I sent a couple of pictures in there to Tom. You wanted to see them, but anyway, and then also there are like a couple of other reasons. Now, this reason might...
How cute a clown are you?
we're all like... short and cute and jumpy and jump around and have colorful hair and smiles and not scary makeup at all.
Hmm. I'm speechless.
I know. It's a kind of a, you know, a strange topic, you know. And there are many people in our industry that are clowns, but they don't like that horrible, you know, all of that scary stuff, that scary look and everything. And the people who feel the way you do are winning and becoming a lot more vocal, and you don't have to be afraid these days or be afraid of being made fun of, like somebody's going to make fun of you and go, ha, 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 George, you're scared. You know, because now these days there are so many people that feel that way that it's changing, and people are starting, clowns are starting to look less scary in the business.
I like that. That's great. And hey,
it's
thanks.
Going to do nothing but continue. Thank you very much, George.
Okay.
Have a good evening.
Take care. That's a nice clown. Kind of puts me at ease a little bit. Let's go to our first-time caller line. Welcome to Coast, you're on the air. Hi there.
Hello.
Yeah, hi. What brings you to the program tonight?
My name is Dennis. I'm from Worcester, Massachusetts.
Dennis, you know what? I grew up near Worcester. Every summer, my parents would take me out there for 2 or 3 months up until I was 16 in Fitchburg and Leominster and Worcester, and just love that area.
Yeah, I grew up. I've been here all my life.
And you can tell that I've been there because a lot of people who don't know that area call it Worcester.
Right. Yeah, they do.
So what's going on?
I got a story for you. That happened 43 years ago when I was 12. I was walking home from my grandfather's house. I had slept over. And my next-door neighbor was driving a mail truck. And I waved to him. He stopped to pick me up to give me a ride home, jeopardizing his job. He said, "Well, wait until these two cars pull out from this side street." They went in front of us. I got in the truck.
The woods. It's on this little dirt road. And when they first moved in, they thought it was, like, the perfect house. It's, you know, hard to get there. It's kind of in the middle of nowhere, really. And so when they first moved in, the people who were moving out made this little, like, joke. They were like, "Well, don't let the ghosts get you." And my family was like, "Well, what's that about, you know?" And so they looked it up, and apparently two little girls are actually buried on the property. And that really didn't bother them because they're kind of religious, and they just didn't see it as a big deal. And so they move in, and it's, like, 2 weeks after they've moved in the house, and they start getting these weird phone calls. And at first it was just, like, somebody was there, but they weren't saying anything, and then they would hear it hang back up. And then pretty soon it was, like, a little kid's voice, and they were asking for daddy, like, over and over again. And then you would hear the phone hang up, and then you'd hear the phone upstairs click back in the receiver. And so they kind of felt like it was a call from the house. Like, it was really kind of hard to explain how it sounded. And so that freaked them out, but they still were able to kind of dismiss it as being just, you know, something weird going on.
Yeah.
And my uncle came to stay, and this is after I had been born, and I had, like, two or three, and I was playing with these toys up in the upstairs spare bedroom. And when I was done, I put them all back in the box. But they were kind of old, and they kind of squeak and make noise. And that night we'd gone to bed, and he shut the door, and he heard these weird noises in the spare bedroom. And he could tell it was something squeaking and moving around. And he's a hunter, so he's, like, you know, going to be all big and tough. And he thinks it's a burglar, so he's going to go in, and he's going to bring his gun with him. And so he goes, and he flings open the door, and scattered all throughout the whole room are my toys. I like these little kids' toys. And
they're alive.
It was just, they were everywhere. And so he, you know, at first he thought that it was me who'd left them out. So again, they were able to kind of dismiss it as being like, oh, well, it was really nothing. And when I was about 4 years old, things started happening up a lot more. And I remember my mom told me when I was like 13. And before then, I didn't even believe in this sort of stuff. And she told me that I was standing at the front door, and it's this, like, glass sliding door. And I told her, I asked her, could I go please play with those two little girls? And they didn't see anyone outside. And so my mom took me outside to play, and she turned her back, and I was gone. And she was, you know, looking frantically for me. And they live on this huge hill, and their driveway goes down the hill. And so she heard this strange music, and it was kind of like an old record player sound.
Yeah, scratchy
and,
type.
Yeah, and kind of hard to tell where it was coming from. And but she could tell it was, like, coming from the bottom of the hill, from the bottom of the driveway. And so she takes off down the hill. And she finds, by the time she gets down there, the music stopped. But I'm sitting there just, like, talking to myself at the bottom of the hill. And I don't remember any of this, but this is what she's told me. And then things started happening where I was old enough to actually remember it. question
was. Could you see those children, but they couldn't?
I don't know. I really can't remember anything. And like when she told me, I was still kind of skeptical. I'd like to say I'm a skeptic at heart, but it takes a lot to really convince me. And things really happen around like holidays, like Christmas and stuff. And I was outside with my cousin and my sister, and they're both younger than me. And we were looking at Christmas lights because my grandma is really big into Christmas. And we were outside, and we heard this really weird music, like the scratchy music. And my mom hadn't told me at the time about the music. So we rushed inside, like we were screaming, like it was scary, because it's just not a normal sound. And we told her about it, and that's when she told me that she'd heard the music before. And it's always from the bottom of the hill. And things have been happening for a long time, and it's been a long time since I was 13 years old. But
how old are you now?
I'm 20.
Okay.
And my little cousin recently, he's 3, and he was playing in one of the living rooms, and he came rushing into the kitchen, and he was like almost crying, and he was saying how scared he was. And so we were like, oh, you know, what's wrong? Why are you scared? And he said, something is crawling on its hands and feet upstairs. And so things are always happening, but I started asking my mom about it because I wanted to know, you know, what's going on here? Has this always been happening? And I figured there was stuff she probably would tell me now that she wouldn't have told me back then.
Yeah, she was holding back when you were a kid.
Yeah. And so I asked her about it, and she said that it's actually, there's a whole lot of things that have happened that we don't know if they're related or not. And I was going to call last night and ask, but it's such kind of a long story, so I didn't want to do it.
Are they still living in that house?
Yeah. And the scariest thing that scares me is, like, I'm pretty okay with the ghost thing now. Like, things have happened so many times, and we've seen so many weird things. I'm pretty okay with that. But one of the strangest things that happened was my mom was going to college, and I was, like, 7 or so. And I don't remember this, but she was sleeping downstairs because we were all living at my grandparents'. And there's this, like, big fireplace thing, and she brought this guy. Hang on. I got to reverse because I'm telling you too much ahead of time. This guy gave her this book because she was doing a paper on, like, religious things. And
okay.
He gave her this book and said it would really help her, like it would really do good on her paper. And so she took it home and didn't even look at it. And that night she went to bed and she had this horrible dream that something was pounding up and down the stairs. And she said it sounded huge, like not like a person, but like an animal or something. And she thought she was dreaming. And she kind of woke up and realized it was still going on, and it was growling, like really deep growl. And she kept thinking, you know, I've got to be dreaming. But that morning she checked the book, and it ended up being this like satanic Bible. And I'm not sure if she ever opened it or how long it was in the house, but...
She didn't even know it was that until later?
No, she didn't know
later.
It the next morning.
Why would this guy give her a satanic Bible?
And it was,
Bible
was going to a Catholic college, like a private Catholic school. So that in itself is really bizarre.
Was this his idea of a sick joke or what?
I really don't know. And because that's what I asked. I was like, why would he do that? She's like, I guess he just thought it would help, but...
All right, we're going to move on, but see, you weren't nervous, were you?
Nervous.
Well, you're okay now, aren't you?
Yeah.
To take them under fire. And about 5 minutes after we'd settled down and were ranging our targets, all of a sudden, everybody in the unit collapsed.
What do you mean collapsed?
Collapsed.
All of them?
Everyone. There were 52 men in this unit. And again, like I told your screener, I was scanning everybody with through my rifle scope. My spotter was keeping an eye on alternate target.
Sure.
With a spotting scope.
And how far away was everybody?
About 400 yards.
Okay.
And what we could see was bizarre. Again, did you ever see the movie Raiders of the Lost Ark?
Oh, of course. Saw them all.
Okay. The scene in the movie where the German opened up the ark and a spirit
came out
and essentially went through the bodies of all the Germans that were there, and they died horribly.
They almost like vaporized or something,
yeah.
If I remember that.
Anyway, we didn't see anything white. All we could see was a black shadow flitting. You know, it happened in a second or two. I mean, it was like a blur.
And the shadow was just covering them all?
No, it was small. It didn't seem to be much larger than, say, the size of a basketball, perhaps. And it seemed to go through every one of these people. And it happened so fast, it was like, boom. It was there, then it was gone, and all these people were down.
Were they dead?
Every one of them.
Unbelievable.
Every one of them. We radioed in what happened, and the Marine unit that was coming into the area was told to hold their position, not to go into this valley we were at. And they sent in a couple of Chinook helicopters with some CIA people.
They verified that they were all dead?
I went down. I was on the scene, literally on the scene. And there wasn't a mark on any one of these people. They just literally collapsed at their weapons.
Were their eyes open or closed?
I was going to get to that. That was the scariest part of the whole thing. I mean, watching these people die, I didn't know if there was some poison gas. I just didn't know what was going on. But the face of every one of these people looked like they'd been scared to death.
And that's probably how they died.
And we had to sign a non-disclosure document. We were never allowed to talk about this. I've talked about it to you. The only other person until tonight that I ever mentioned this to was my wife. I told her about it last year.
For some reason, they were just removed from this planet. We'll be back in a moment.
Get daily automatic MP3 downloads of tonight's show and every night show with the new Coast to Coast AM podcast. Log on to coasttocoastam.com.